If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Wall Street watching the Federal Reserve. Wall Street watching Europe, the European Central Bank. Wall Street watching the Bank of England. I go to Brett Ahrens of MarketWatch. He is in Great Britain. Brett Ahrens is Break the Glass Brett Ahrens. I call upon Brett whenever the market breaks, and it has these last several days broken. Brett, you saw this coming for some time now, that the Federal Reserve has said that it's going to solve inflation by hiking rates well into 2023, and it's hiking them in big bites, jumbo hikes. This week, Jerome Powell announced it was the will of the governors to raise the rates a half a point. We all knew that was coming. And yet, for 3 days now, the market has been in severe retreat, as if the unemployment situation is already dire. It's not. As if the world is ending. It's not. So what do you expect from the markets here at year's end? Good evening to you, Break the Glass.
Good evening. Good evening to you from London, where for once they actually have snow on the ground, and it is Boston cold here, which is very unusual. We are below freezing at the moment. Yeah, the markets the last couple of days, what spooked everybody is that the Fed has spelled out that they plan to keep interest rates higher for longer than people had been hoping. And it wasn't just Jerome Powell. Other Fed bank heads have sort of fanned out across the media over the last couple of days and reiterated the point that rates are going to stay higher for longer, that the markets had become too optimistic that this was going to be a quick turnaround in interest rates and inflation. John Williams of the New York Fed actually said that real rates might have to be restrictive, which means the implication is that rates could actually rise higher than the inflation rate. As it happens, I was interviewing on a Barron's Live program we do just the other day, Steve Russell, who's the investment director of Ruffer & Co., and he, which is a big money manager here in London, and has essentially, they're up for the year. They've dodged the bullet this year, as they seem to dodge every crisis. And he was saying, look, you can't really get inflation out of the system unless you have positive real rates. You have to raise interest rates above the rate of inflation. And so historically, that's the only way you've been able to beat inflation. Now, if that's the case, either they're going to have to raise rates up to, 7% or whatever, or they're going to have to hope inflation comes down a lot. So either way, the markets, I think, had got ahead of themselves in thinking that interest rates were going to be on the way down at some point next year, that inflation had peaked, that, we could see, the other side of the mountain. And the Fed, Powell and others, has basically said, no, the interest rates are going to stay higher for longer than we expected. And they might even, there's some suggestion they might even go up, 5% or more.
Central bankers are all moving in the same direction. The central bank in Europe, Christine Lagarde and her governors raised rates there. And then the Bank of England, Andrew Bailey, raised rates to the highest in some years. So is Europe experiencing the same sense of surprise that the central bankers are doing what they say they were going to do?
I don't think so. To some extent, everything is sort of driven out of the U.S. because it is the largest financial market by far. And so essentially, when Wall Street goes down, everything goes down. when the price of debt in the States, the cost of money in the States goes up, the cost of money elsewhere goes up. What is interesting for me is to see, you know, they may well be fighting the previous battle. What is it? Fighting the last wars is the old line. Right now in Europe, certainly in the UK, there is a deep freeze and there is an energy crisis. And I actually was visiting a major professional international financial services firm, their head office in London, in the city of London yesterday. And these are very swanky offices, and this is a very, you know, wealthy company. And what is interesting is that everybody is now walking around inside wearing fleeces. And my host was saying that they basically dropped the thermostat quite significantly to save money. And as a result, the new dress code, you know, indoors in London, in, you know, even in these sort of top places, everyone's wearing fleeces. People are essentially cutting back. They're responding in many ways to, you know, the pressure from higher energy costs. And these have really hit Europe very badly. So this may already have put, in the UK and Europe may already be in recession. You know, we may find, I mean, there's always a lag with these interest rates. I mean, we may find that they are raising rates now sort of as, you know, as the economy is slowing sharply. And they may be raising rates too much at a point where the economy is starting to slow. We don't know yet, but that is a very interesting possibility.
Layoffs. We've watched for some time now about the jobs market because we associate recessions with layoffs. Is this it? The headline in the Wall Street Journal right now, right after market closes. Goldman Sachs plans thousands of layoffs, expects to eliminate some bonuses. Do you hear the same thing in the city, that they're doing layoffs in London?
Well, those are probably, I mean, if Goldman is doing them, other banks are going to do them as well. I mean, they won't be the outlier. They won't be the only people laying off. Well, I mean, we have essentially a two-track economy now. We have all of these organizations and industries that overhired during the pandemic. The whole work-from-home bubble. We were all going to be, you know, working from home. We were all going to be basically trading. The entire economy was going to consist of people trading, you know, cryptocurrency and NFTs on their Pelotons. And now all that stuff is basically being slashed. All the tech companies are laying off, you know, and downsizing, and the banks. Meanwhile, restaurants, you know, real companies, you know, can't get staff. They still can't get staff. Everyone is still struggling to find, you know, qualified staff for, you know, the stuff that wasn't, you know, inflated during the lockdowns. So, you know, there's probably a lot more pain to come on in the areas that were overinflated.
And the expectation for 23 in Europe, in let's stay to London, is it looking ahead for solving this, the inflation, the energy crisis, the wobbly government? Are people optimistic, or is this a gloomy Dickensian Christmas?
Oh, I think this is a gloomy Dickensian Christmas, not least because the rail strikes over here mean that, I mean, the country is, the union leaders are being accused of being the Grinches that stole Christmas. You know, we have train strikes, there are postal worker strikes. I see that Amazon workers are going on strike, nurses are on strike. You know, I lived in this country in the late 70s when strikes were known as the English disease or the British disease. And we, you know, it has a sort of an eerie feel. So I think there is a general gloom at the moment, partly because, to a large extent, driven by, you know, energy costs and the energy crunch. Basically, you know, the place is freezing. Everyone is, you know, walking around in three sweaters, and they don't know when this is going to end. There, you know, people are always sort of optimistic that next year things will improve. Americans tend to be much more optimistic than Europeans. So I see there's the usual headlines that, oh, Wall Street is going to, you know, rise X amount next year. You know, of course, we have no idea. But, you know, I'm not too optimistic about next year. I wonder how far the equity markets, right, and perhaps the bond markets have priced in, you know, the fact that maybe we're not about to go back to 2019. There seems to be a hope that, well, this is a temporary crisis, temporary inflation, temporary this, temporary that, and it's, you know, soon we'll be back to 2019, everything will be booming, and inflation will be down to, you know, 1%, and the economy will be growing quickly, and we'll be happy. Well, maybe that will happen, but maybe it won't. And the markets seem to be very enthusiastic, or seem to have gotten over-optimistic that that would be the case.
Brett Ahrens for Market Watch in London. I'm John Batchelor.